Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 32, The Fun Formula, How Curiosity, Risk-Taking, and Serendipity Can Revolutionize Your Work, with author and entrepreneur Joel Kamm.
Hi, this is Dan Miller from 48days.com, where I help folks like you find a true path to a meaningful, purposeful, and profitable life in 48 days. Dr. Brad Miller is here to guide you on your path to your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose on the Pathway to Promise podcast.
Well, I don't know how long I'm going to live. We don't know. And if I'm always planning for one day I'm going to fill in the blank, that blank may never get filled in. And so we have to carpe the diems, and we have to do it now.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello, my good friend, and welcome to Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. That is me. Glad you have chosen to spend some time with me today as we continue to explore what it means to have a fulfilled life, to have a God-given promise life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. And together we follow a path, we follow a process that helps us to overcome adversity and profound life challenges to find that promised life. And we do so by some teaching and some leading and by talking to some great experts. And today we have an incredible author and entrepreneur with us, Joel Kamm. He's authored many books, by 15 books. He is an expert in live video. He has a podcast that has to do with cryptocurrency. And he has been a pioneer in the area of online marketing and business. But most of all, he calls himself an eternal 12-year-old. And we're going to talk today about his latest book called The Fun Formula, about having fun. Having fun. You know, really, in a way, that's what it's all about, isn't it? We want to enjoy our life. We want to have some fun in our life. We don't want to be, you know, just all the time, just kind of, you know, bitter and kind of in a sad funk, you know. That's not where you want to be. You want to have fun in life. It really boils down to one of the things Joel and I talked about was how, for him, and I really believe this for me, ultimately the value in life, the fulfillment of life comes in two places: the people you're with and the experiences that you have. Not too long ago, I was with one of my favorite people, my wife, and we had an experience together. We had just come off a cruise, which was a lot of fun, but it was exhausting. But the very next day, after we got home from the cruise, Debbie, my wife, said she wanted to drive about an hour away to go to a state park to take a walk. And I really just didn't want to do it. You know, I was just kind of tired, wrung out. I had some responsibilities that I was wanted to get to. And I just felt kind of the weight of obligation on my shoulders. But you know, she has a way of having some great influence on me, as she should. And so, of course, we got in the car and we drove an hour or so away to go to the state park and to take a walk in the woods around a lake. Beautiful day, beautiful, cool, crisp day. Took this walk around the lake. And you know what? I started to relax and started to have some fun. And then something kind of cool, what you might call a serendipitous moment, occurred. And some people would think this was fun, but I did. About a foot and a half snake crossed our path. I think it was a copperhead. I'm not 100% sure. But it just crossed our path, and I followed it back into the woods a little bit. Debbie wasn't too thrilled about that. But I just liked looking at that snake. I didn't catch up to it. It reminded me sometimes when I was a kid taking walks and seeing a snake once in a while, and it's a couple of times when I would catch a snake and just have some fun with that. And I went, you know, one time going to an event with my parents where we went to a reptile place on vacation, and I got to hold a gigantic python in my hands. It just brought back some warm, good memories. And guess what? I had fun. I had fun with one of the most important people in my life, my wife, the most important person in my life. And because she encouraged me, we had a good experience, and I had fun. And I also had a warm memory, a serendipitous experience. Well, that's what I really wish for you, my friends, that you can process any of the junk in your life, set aside the obligations and the pressures and that kind of thing, and just relax and have fun. And you might find that you will have these serendipitous moments, these aha moments, when you just feel good and have that sense of fulfillment. That's what we want. That's why we're here in the Pathway to Promise podcast, to be helpful to you, to help you overcome adversity, to find your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. You can always go to our website, pathwaypromise.com, find our back catalog of issues of the podcast. Lots of great experts on there, lots of great teaching about how you can overcome adversity to achieve your pathway of promise in your life. We have a free download for you there, which is an excerpt from my upcoming book, The 40-Day Way, or The Promise Given Life, Your 40-Day Way to Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. And we got some gifts, you know, some other information there for you that I think you'll helpful. If you like what you hear here on the Pathway to Promise, please go on over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast and give us a rating of 5 stars if you think we're okay. And then a review of a line or two would be very much appreciated. Today we're talking about fun. Today we're talking about fun, the fun formula, with Joel Kamm. Joel is an author, a speaker, he's a podcaster, he's into cryptocurrency, which is a whole world that I'm very fascinated by. Yeah, he is an entrepreneur, he's written about 15 books on all kinds of topics about AdSense code and about Twitter and about live video, all kinds of things. But his recent book, I just read it, and he's going to talk about it today. It's all about fun. And for Joel, he thinks fun is not just what we do, it's a way of life. And in his book, he talks about how we can make our work not just something that we have to do to get by in life, but it can be a lot of fun. The subtitle has Being Curious, Being a Risk Taker, and How Serendipity Can Revolutionize Your Life. Looking forward to this conversation. I know you will too. So let's get into the interview with Joel Kamm right now. Our guest today on Pathway to Promise is a published author of a number of books. He's been involved with the internet marketing space and in the media space for some time. And his latest book is The Fun Formula, How Curiosity, Risk-Taking, and Serendipity Can Revolutionize How You Work. His name is Joel Kamm. Joel, welcome to the Pathway to Promise.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Joel, it is excellent to have you here on our podcast, which is all about helping people overcome adversity to achieve some of their promised life, is like we like to call it. And your latest book is about fun and about how you can use fun to turn your life around. But I've just got a suspicion that you wrote this book somewhat out of response to some parts of your life that may have not been so fun. Can you say a word about that? Maybe why you wrote this book? Was it somewhat a response to adversity in your life?
You know, it was more a response to the messaging that's taking place out there right now. There's two words that we're hearing again and again in reference to how one succeeds in the business world. And those words are hustle and grind. And I absolutely bristle at the sound of that terminology, because not only do I think that the hustle and grind mentality is not the best way to approach business and life, but it's also damaging. You know, somewhere along the line, we turn this idea that hard work is a virtue into that 10 times the hard work is 10 times the virtue. And I've reverse engineered the 23 years I've been doing business online. I've had about 7 what I would call home runs, and even more, a greater number of failures, and then everything in between. And what I discovered is that the home runs, the greatest successes, came when I actually did the least amount of effort into them. But the themes that they had in common were that I was always following my curiosity and allowing my creativity to express itself. I was always willing to take a risk, and I allowed the process, serendipity, to take its right timing for things to unfold. Every time I tried to force things, that's usually when things went off the rails. And so I think that there's a place for hard work. There's certainly a time that you have to buckle down and get things done. But there really is something to working smart as opposed to working hard.
Mm. And as a part of this process, you seem to share that following your passion is really where magic can happen. Say a word about just following your passion as opposed to being forced to do someone else's agenda.
Well, sure. I mean, I believe that we all have unique passions and, you know, we're created for a purpose. I don't think anybody's here by accident, and we're all incredibly unique with our own talents and, you know, experiences and personality and, how we approach the world. And I think that when we are following that which we are most personally aligned with, that's where we're going to find the greatest success. And again, there's nothing wrong with doing a job. And doing that job well. You know, if you're going to do a job and pursue somebody else's dream, then, perhaps part of your dream is being, you know, part of that team to make that happen. But, you know, if you've got your own dream to do something, especially as an entrepreneur, then, you know, there's people out there that are going to be selling you this hustle and grind bill of goods. And that's truly what they are doing. They are selling it to you. They want you to buy something, and odds are that's not going to be the best way to go about getting what you want.
Hmm. I think a lot of people are searching for fulfillment in their life, whether it's in their career or in something else along their life, and they're not having a whole lot of fun. Do you correlate fun and fulfillment together in some form or another?
I do. I feel that when you're doing what you're made to do, even though there's work involved in it, you're going to enjoy it. It's not going to feel like work. I don't remember who actually said this, but the quote is, if you can tell the difference between your work and your play, you're doing one of them wrong. Right. I haven't worked like the way we think of work. For years, I do what I love to do. Now, that doesn't mean that everything I do, I love every component of it. You know, sometimes there's tasks we got to do that are, you know, tedious or maybe not exactly in our skill set, or, you know, timing could be difficult. But it means in general, we love what we do. And as a result, we have a better chance of being successful at it. And fun spills over from work into play and play into work. And if we love what we're doing, we're just going to be more effective at that task.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you talk about in your book is you kind of point to the opposite of what you're saying there, is that fear can hold us back, and that fun is on the other side of fear, and that we got to break through fear in order to find those serendipitous moments. Mm-hmm. How does fear hold us back, and what are some maybe strategies we can use to break through fear?
Well, I think that, you know, we definitely live in a competitive society, and I think that that's a good thing. And, you know, we very early on, we grade, our students, and, you know, you get an A to an F. That means F is for failure, right? And we're told that failure is a bad thing. But failure is not a bad thing. In fact, I've learned more from my failures than I have from any of my successes. The successes, you know, those are the times we celebrate and woohoo and, you know, crack open the champagne and think, okay, what's next? But the failures are the times that we get to really be introspective and figure out what went wrong. Was this the wrong project for me? Was I distracted? Was there outside influences? Was it wrong timing? There's all these questions. And if we are honest and take a look at, you know, what we can evaluate that happened, then we can learn a lot. And so the greatest life lessons come from failures. And so don't be afraid of failure. When we talk about failure, I see opportunity. You know, there's opportunity to grow. And if you're going to push beyond fear, you have to be willing to take risks. And we all know people that are not willing to take risks. They play it safe. They're content, or at least appear to be content, in the security of knowing that they're getting a paycheck. you know, that they've got their job, that they have their insurance. There's no risk really seemingly involved in doing the same thing and not stepping out. But if you're going to, you know, do something that truly makes a difference, something epic, something magical that is a fulfillment of your dreams, you're going to have to take a risk. And that means you will fail. I've failed way more times than I have succeeded, but those failures have then led me to learn the lessons that have led to the greater success. So risk-taking is a key part of the fun formula.
Yeah, I've heard it said, if you want to find the fruit, it's not only you got to go out on the limb to find the fruit.
So
you
gotta that's
take,
right.
You got to take some risk there. You mentioned one of the subtitles of your book, it talks about serendipity, and that's a term I love. I use that in my life and ministry a lot, you know, those kind of those aha moments. And you talk about how you can't really engineer serendipity, but you can create the environment. Say a little bit about that, about what serendipity means to you. And what do you mean by creating the environment?
Well, to me, you know, I don't believe in luck. I know that we try to attribute luck to the unexplainable circumstances of our lives, but I'm kind of one of those that believes things happen for a purpose. But we don't always see opportunities. We have to have our radar fine-tuned to be able to recognize what's going on around us. Some people get really focused on a goal, and they were told that, hey, if you want what's on the other side of that door, you just keep beating on that door until that thing opens up. I'm looking around and going, but you know, there's a door over there that's open just a crack. And there's one over there that's wide open. There's opportunity all around. And if we get this tunnel vision of this has to be the thing and this has to be how it's done, we miss opportunity. And so serendipity to me is trusting the process and it's showing up. It's allowing opportunity to come our way and detecting it when it does. It could mean, you know, answering the right email at the right time, making the right phone call, showing up at the right event, and not knowing what's going to happen there, but creating an environment around you that says, you know what, I'm open to anything happening. And I can't tell you how many times just showing up and being around people, because ultimately our business is about people, not about our products and our services. Those are just the conduits we use to serve people, but all our the things that we do are there to serve people. And so put yourself around people and you're going to discover opportunity. And, you know, ask questions. I love going to events, even if I don't have a direct business reason to go there. I mean, I've showed up at the toy fair and Comic-Con and networking events and marketing events of all kinds, just because I think, hey, this will be fun. And you never know who you're going to meet, and you never know from speaking with somebody what problem they have that you might be able to solve.
So your agenda is more an open-ended agenda rather than going to an event, let's say, that you're going to, whatever, hand out 100 cards, whatever it would be, or you want to really make connections with such and such people. Try to be open to what opportunity comes. But it sounds like making these personal connections at events and so on is part of the strategy for allowing this environment to happen.
Well, it really is, and oftentimes those connections come to you, and it happens when you have these discussions. You know, so many times people come with a fistful of business cards, and their goal is to distribute them and tell people what they do. Well, that's just kind of like email blasting, you know, a bunch of people. I prefer to go to where I know people are that have some sort of connection to the same interests as me, and ask them what kind of problems they're having, what's going on. You ask them about them. You know, we always say, so what do you do? And oftentimes we can't wait for people to finish telling us what they do so we could tell them what we do.
Right.
That mindset is not effective. The mindset should be ask people what they do and then listen and find out what their needs are. They may have absolutely no interest in what you do, but if what you are able to do solves a problem they have, all of a sudden you're the right person in the right place at the right time. And that could turn into something that you never predicted.
And there's simple power in the ask, power in making those connections, and I
sure
appreciate that. Say, so there's these relationships are powerful. I would just say a word about I like to talk about how even in these types of relationships, there's an element of emotion or love, even I might say. What is the power of loving type relationships, whether it's in your personal life or in reaching out to others or caring about humanity as general, that makes a difference in helping us transform and have more fun in our life?
Well, again, when you're remembering that your life is ultimately not about you, but about the blessing and the value you bring to others, it takes the focus off yourself. And it also helps us with our fear. You know, we can be more loving to ourselves when we realize, hey, you know what? This passion that I have, this thing I want to do is not so much about me as it is how I can serve other people with it. You know, a great application for this is as a public speaker, I used to be terrified to speak. And it's taken many years for me to get to the place where I feel like I'm walking into my own living room when I go on stage. But what I always tell people who are nervous about speaking is to get over themselves. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but when we get into our fear, we get so focused on ourselves and how we're going to perform and nervous about what we're going to say. But the truth is, you have an audience of people that are there because they want to hear what you have to say. And if you're focusing on yourself, you're doing them a disservice. And so they tell you to picture the room of people naked. I don't like that idea. I don't want to see.
Yeah. I prefer to see people more on your side than anything else, and they're really rooting for you more often than not. But they're here, right. they're here to see you for some reason to make a connection to you.
Sure.
Yeah. Joel, you also talk in your book, and I know I've in your personal life a little bit about the importance of a higher power. Tell us a little bit about a sense of connecting to a higher power. How can this help us have fulfillment in our life or help us have fun in our life and speak to what's most important in life?
Well, you know, not everybody's going to believe as I believe, and that's fine. I'm allowed to have my beliefs and others are allowed to have theirs. I believe there is a spiritual component. I think that humans are three-part beings. We are physical. You know, we're in these earth suits that we wear for a time while we're here for the very short blip that we exist on this planet. We have souls that, you know, that are who we really are, that invisible part, our mind, our will, our emotions. And then I believe we have a spiritual part that is designed to connect with a higher power or God, as I like to call him. And I think that because spirituality is something that persists in all likelihood apart from this physical world, it seems to me that that spiritual realm is actually a more significant realm than the physical realm. You know, we live in the here and now, and because we can touch the world around us, it feels like this is all there is. But if there is a spiritual component, it is a superior realm to the physical realm. And so I think investigating that in our lives and making that a part of our core and understanding what we believe and why we believe it and then living that out in a way that impacts the world positively, I think that that's naturally, if that all is true, that's naturally going to lead to a more fulfilling time on Earth.
Yeah, and if you're going to be a fulfilled person and, by your definition, have fun in your life, you need all three parts to use your framework there. You need to have that emotional and the physical and the spiritual to be a whole person. And that's at least why I like to take it, and I think that's an important aspect to come for us to approach as well. Let me ask about some of the ways that you do this. I'd like to, for you to talk for just a second, Joel, about some of the practical ways you live out this lifestyle that you have. Talk about any habits or routines or things that you do in your life to intentionally live a fulfilled, fun life.
Well, for me personally, I'm unemployable. Now, I know there are people that enjoy working employed and having whatever their job is, and that may be their calling, and that's fine. For me personally, it means that I don't ever want to be on a traditional schedule. I like to sleep in until I'm awake. I like to stay up until I'm ready to sleep. I like to sometimes I'll work all day on Sunday and take off all day on Wednesday. Sometimes I'll work late into the evening or not get started until noon. It just, I try not to overschedule myself to the point where I'm so busy that I'm not seizing the day. And so I feel like I work less than most people I know. And it's not because of where I am financially in my life. It's because of a choice I make to live each day in the way that is most satisfying for me. There's a lot of flexibility in that. And so when I look back on the years that I worked more because I thought I was supposed to, I realized that a lot of that time I was spinning my wheels with needless effort. And it could have been more time, you know, with my family or more time, you know, resting or vacationing or enjoying my hobbies. And so I'm not, you know, going to make that mistake again. There is, once you've made money and lost money, you understand how money works, then I think when you become even a step closer to being self-actualized on, you know, on Maslow's hierarchy, then you realize materialism isn't going to really ever satisfy. It's more about the quality of your life. And it comes down to two things, the people in your life and the experiences that you have. That's ultimately the only thing that is of lasting value. You know, nobody gets to their deathbed and goes, man, I could have worked an extra 10 hours a week instead of playing. You know, I could have had a second car, I could have had a third home or a boat or whatever.
Yeah, you can't, as one of the studies you referenced in your book has to do with people who, what regrets they have at the end of their life. And I've been privileged to be with people at the end of their life, and you just can't take it with you. There's never a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse or anything like that. There's, you know, so you, and people almost always talk about relationships or experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's been the privilege that I've had. So that's awesome.
And the problem is people plan out for their future, right? And they say, okay, I'm going to work for 35 years and I'm going to retire and I'm going to move to Arizona or whatever, which I can't imagine why you would do that. The idea of stopping production of value to me seems like your death sentence. I don't get that at all. But, you know, even more importantly is we don't know how long we have. You know, I'm 54 right now, and I've seen people younger than myself, acquaintances and friends, you know, leave their lives early, you know, too soon. And others, you know, live to grow to be old. Well, I don't know how long I'm going to live. We don't know. And if I'm always planning for one day I'm going to fill in the blank, that blank may never get filled in. And so we have to carpe the diems. We have to do it now.
No one knows the hour nor the day. So what would you say right now, Joel, is your purpose in life? What would you say that is right now?
You know, I feel like I am here to bring value through my talents, my skills, my abilities. I like to inspire people. I like to help people to feel good about themselves by pointing out the reasons they should feel good about themselves. I like to focus on the positive. In fact, I've got a phrase that I have trademarked and placed on a T-shirt and stickers that's called Do Good Stuff. It's the hashtag that we use is Do Good Stuff. And the idea there is that there's enough bad news in the world. And especially if you're watching the news or reading the newspaper, turn that off. They are there just to manipulate you. And
it's poison,
sell you.
Really. Wow.
Yeah, it is. They are there to sell you toothpaste and toilet paper and to make you fearful. And they do a good job for those that, you know, that eat it up. But turn that off and recognize there is way more good in the world than there is bad. Infinitely more good than there is bad. You just don't see a show of, hey, and tonight on the news, you know, we've got puppies and balloons and birthday parties and,
right,
you know, people rescuing people. And at the end, the human interest story is the murder, right? Instead, we have a whole half hour full of bad news, murders and bombings and wars and scandals. And then at the end, there's the puppy story, right? It's because it's what sells. So turn that off. Focus on what's positive, and if you seek to do good stuff, put good out there in the world without always thinking what's in it for me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have contracts and deals and negotiations, but I'm saying there's many times if we just seek to do good without expecting anything in return, I believe that when you sow good seed, good fruit comes up. And you don't always know when, you don't always know where, you don't always know how. It could happen overnight, it could take decades. But it's true what they say, what goes around comes around. And so put good stuff out there. And that's what I seek to do.
Absolutely. And it's the opposite of what we talked about earlier. Fear. We focus on the fear. That's destructive. You focus on the fun and the productive. Good things happen. So speaking about productive, how would you define prosperity?
I don't define it as monetary or material. I think if a man is fulfilled or woman is fulfilled in their work and in their relationships, then the measure, you know, I think they're successful. I think they're prosperous. I think that if we are rich in love and the people around us that matter that to us, then we win.
Absolutely. What brings you peace and fulfillment?
My faith brings me peace and fulfillment, and my relationships with my family and my friends. You know, I love my kids, and they're both grown adults now, and it's a joy to see them making their way in the world, you know, regardless of how scary it is and how difficult it is when you're getting started. And it's rewarding to know that every now and then, you know, you get an email or a call from somebody that says you've impacted them in a positive way. And it's like, huh, that's cool. That's good to know. It's not for nothing. It's not just talking into the wind.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I thank you for your time there. We could go on talking for a long time. Raising adult children is a whole big thing there. I know you're very much into the cryptocurrency world right now. There's a whole different discussion there. But if folks want to learn more about you, Joel, or learn about what you're up to, how can they find out more about you or what you're up to?
JoelKahn.com is my blog, or follow me on Facebook or Twitter. Both are, at JoelKahn. And if you are interested in cryptocurrency, check out the Bad Crypto Podcast, the show that we make blockchain and Bitcoin and cryptocurrency easy for people to understand.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, JoelKahn, for being our guest today on Pathway to Promise. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? I had a blast. I really did with Joel Kahn here on our interview today. His book, The Fun Formula, How Curiosity, Risk-Taking, and Serendipity Can Revolutionize How You Work. It's all about an attitude, isn't it? It's all about an attitude and enjoying your life, focusing in on that which is most important, people in your life and experiences. I know in my life, I am, as a pastor for church, I have been blessed and honored to be with people on a number of occasions at the end of their life. And you know what? Not one person I've ever been with towards the end of their life has ever spoke about, oh man, you know, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. Oh, for goodness sakes, you know, I wish I'd got that promotion. Or for, I wish I had, you know, a bigger house or a better a boat or a better car, anything like that. What they're all about is about their relationships with their spouse, with their children, their grandchildren, about their friends and family. That's what it's about, and about the experiences that they've had in their life, about the places they've been, the people they've seen, about the opportunities that they have had to travel and other things in their life. That's what brings joy and fulfillment, and I want you to have joy and fulfillment in your life. And Joel's book, The Fun Formula, helps you to do that. He tells some great stories in that book, and he talks about these, you know, these subtle changes that we can make on how we think and how we approach things like failure and how we can develop new routines in our life to help us to design our life, be one of significance, of joy, of fulfillment, what I like to call the promised life, which is your life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. Let's just touch on a few of the, I would call them the bullet points of what Joel taught us today. And you can hang on to these, and certainly we'll have links to his book in our show notes. But he talked about how so much in our life is focused around the hustle and grind, and how in our work world especially, we are just focused on working harder and getting after it and things like that. And how he talked about in his life, the best things have happened to him, his home runs and his business life have happened, when he's not really worked so hard on it, but it's came to him. When he tried to force things, things just went off the rails. And it's all about working smarter and harder and looking for opportunities to have fun. The idea is to take your passion and make it your purpose. And don't grind yourself to bits, but to know that without fun and fulfillment, that's where it's at in life. You don't want to be working so much. You need to have a life of fun and fulfillment. And if you can tell the difference between your work and your play, if you can't tell the difference between your work and your play, then you're doing one of them wrong. He talked a lot about fear, and we had a great conversation about fear, how fear can hold us back and is basically the flip side of fun. And he talked about some strategies to overcome fear. One of them is understanding that failure is not final. We learn by our failures. It's not a bad thing, and it's also good to be introspective, to learn and evaluate what we've done in our life. And another thing to do about overcoming failure is to be a risk taker. To know that when you take risk, that's when some of the greatest successes come in your life. However, risk-taking always comes with failure. This is about creating what he called an environment for serendipity. Serendipity are those aha moments when something unexpectedly joyful and good happens to you. And looking for those opportunities to come when we set ourselves in this environment. That is to be open for anything to happen at any time. And a lot of that, Joel talked about, is just showing up. Showing up for things. Showing up at events. Showing up with other people. Ask good questions. Try to learn from other people. Be available. Not necessarily with our own agenda, but be willing to connect with people and listen to them. And one of the key questions we can ask other people is, what's eating you? What problem do you have? And how does something I have, how can I be helpful to you? You see, our life, Joel talks about, is about how we can be a blessing to other people, and we'll get the blessing out of that as well. And we talked about how there's three parts to every person, the body and the soul and the spiritual part, and how having a connection to a higher power is crucial to his thinking about having fulfillment in life, and to understand that we need to be healthy in all these areas. We don't need a lot of wasted effort. We don't need a lot of needless things to do. Material things are never going to ultimately satisfy us. What's going to do, what we have to do, is to seize the day. Now, you love the phrase that Joel used. We have to carpe our diems. We have to actually, seize our days. He talked about his purpose in life is to inspire people and bring value to their lives. And I love his kind of model, or his approach to life is, do good stuff, and then good things will happen to you. Do good stuff. So good stuff today with Joel Kamm. I know that many of you are familiar with his work, but I really like this book, The Fun Formula, and I want to commend it to you and pick it up somewhere. We'll give you some links to The Fun Formula in our show notes, on which you can find at pathwaypromise.com. You can also find some of our other episodes, some of our back catalog of episodes of Pathway Promise podcast. Lots of great authors and leaders and teachers who are all teaching you various strategies and means by which you can overcome adversity and have fulfillment in your life. Have a life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, which I believe God has promised for you, that God has promised for every person. That's why I'm here, Dr. Brad Miller. I have a degree in transformational leadership, a doctoral degree in transformational leadership, and I've been involved with the Christian ministry for 35 years, and I'm just jazzed about seeing people's lives change for the better, because so many of us stay stuck in kind of a melancholy world or a malaise of mediocrity. It just doesn't have to be that way. And I'm here to be helpful, and we're here to be helpful as well here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. If you like what you hear, please go on over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and then give us a rating. 5 stars would be just amazing, and a review of a line or two would be great. But please share the good news in your network as well, social media and otherwise. We're here to be helpful to you. We'll be back with you again next week with another great episode here in the Pathway to Promise podcast, where we're all about helping you overcome adversity in your life to achieve your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. So please move forward in your life by keeping your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.